Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your church, that through trial and turmoil, through good times and bad times, you are Lord of the church, and one day, by the power of your death and resurrection, like the saints who have gone before us, we will confidently see you face to face. By the power of your word and your Holy Spirit, increase in us that true faith, which clings to you alone as Lord and Savior. We pray this in your name. Amen. So last week, St. Paul spoke to us about unity, and we talked about unity in the church, unity in our families, and the importance of unity. And the epistle lesson for this week is a continuation of St. Paul writing and talking about reconciliation in the church and how important it is to not only live a life of reconciliation in the church, but in our general life as well. And so if you read St. Paul and you read the lesson for today, several things came to mind. And the first thing that came to mind is Jesus talking about building his house. We are his house, right? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Later in the reading from St. Paul for today, it talks about that we have been made the temple, the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are the church. We are the house of Jesus. This building isn't the church. This building is not the church at all. It's just a building, really. And we love it. It's beautiful. We thank God for it. We take care of it. It's a blessing from him. But we are the church. And we are called to build our foundation in reconciliation. And we are called to build our foundations firmly. So I thought about a house built on a sand. And you know, Jesus does that parable with a house built on sand, right? And I kind of started thinking about houses built on sand today, and churches that are built on sand, and lives that are built on sand. And this is kind of the foundation that they have under them. They have foundations of sinfulness without repentance. They live the life that is convenient for them, not seeking out what's good for the whole. They believe that the power of their life belongs to them and to no one else. They seek to live out lives that bring glory to them instead of praising God and giving glory to him. These are lives that lack love. Do any of you know people that lack love? I do. I see it a lot. We see it more and more in our culture and society today. We see it in many, many places. There are people who are just so grumpy and so unhappy all the time that that's all they admit from themselves. They would never pass the state inspection test on your car because they're not full of love. And it's sad. I feel bad for them. I truly do, because that's not the kind of life I want to live. And I would hope that's not the kind of life they want to live either. A house built on a sand is a house built on judgment. And we've all seen people who are so quick to judge, judging people in their sinfulness, judging people by the color of their skin, judging people because, well, they're gay and we don't want them in our churches, we're afraid of them, so we're not going to share love with them, judging them because they've done something criminally wrong, and, well, heaven forbid, they're not going to go to heaven because I made the decision, I know better than God. We've all seen people like that. We see people who lack the power and ability to forgive people in life. This is a house that is built on sand. Jesus says you are to forgive up to 70 times 7. You are to forgive because this is living the way that I have called you to live. And what scares me the most about people that build their house on the sand is that they build their house on Satan. Because if you've not built your house on Christ, the only other choice is that you build your house on Satan. Now, that may sound like a firm and stern warning to us, but that's the reality. The reality in this world is you either follow Jesus or you follow Satan. There's no way between that. There's good and there's evil. There's Jesus and there's Satan. People who refuse to build their house on a rock build their house on sand, and this sand, which shifts beneath them, is Satan at work. Then Jesus also talks about a house divided or a kingdom divided in the gospel lessons as well. And what does he say about a house that's divided? A house divided cannot stand. When they threaten him and say, oh, you're from the devil, and in the devil's name you cast out demons, Jesus says, wait a minute, that's not true. Can the devil cast out demons? No. He would have no power. His kingdom would fall. His house wouldn't stand. A house divided cannot stand. But a house united, a house in reconciliation, a house in Jesus will always stand firm and will for eternity. Because that's what a house united is. A house that builds itself on the truth. A house that constantly seeks the truth. A house that lives the truth. A house that is not afraid of the truth, even in hard times. A house that will seek reconciliation as truth. In this world where sin, hate, grudges, gossip, and judgment run supreme, there is only one way a house can stand firmly united in Christ. In this world where sin, hate, grudges, and gossip, and judgment run supreme, there is only one way a house can stand firmly united in Christ. That house, God's people, must continually, over and over again, practice reconciliation. It's not a one-time thing. It's not something we do once and then let go. It's something that continues on and on in our life because it's part of this process that we call sanctification. Do you remember what sanctification is? It's the process of becoming what? Holy. It's a process that begins when? And a process that ends when? At death. And in between baptism and death, we are constantly struggling between good and evil. We're constantly struggling with whether we're building our house on the sand or on the rock. That's because Satan does that to us. But in this constant struggle of good and evil, Jesus and the Holy Spirit works in our lives to lead us to this point of reconciliation with one another daily, forgiving sins, loving each other, working in hard times, seeking the good, celebrating the good, and working out all things to the glory of Him who saved us, who is Jesus Christ. So, like I did last week, I looked up the word reconciliation in the dictionary because, you know, as I said, we use these words today, and we really don't know what they mean. So this is what it says. A situation in which two people or groups of people become friendly again after they have argued. Husbands and wives, do you ever have that happen in your home? None of you ever argue, do you? But I bet you practice reconciliation a lot. You know what I'm talking about. Now, my wife and I never argue, so I wouldn't know that point. I'm afraid of her. Oh, did I? That's on. That's on camera. That's on camera. Oops. The process of making two opposite beliefs or ideas or situations agree. That's interesting, isn't it? And we'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit when we talk about Lutheran theology. Making and accepting apologies. Probably one of the hardest things for us Christians to do, isn't it? I don't know about you, but in my pride, making an apology is one of the hardest things I do. And I don't know why, but in our human pride, accepting an apology, sometimes it's just as hard. But reconciliation involves forgiveness. It involves accepting and making apologies and seeking out the good of all things for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, Satan wants us, God's church, to be chaotic. He wants us to be divided. He wants us to lack peace. And Satan will do whatever he can to cause God's church to be undivided. He will do anything he can to destroy peace in God's church. He will do anything he can to tear down God's church. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you think it is that Satan operates that way in the church of God? Anybody got a notion? Anybody? It's a battle between him and Christ. What else? Very good answer. What happens if a church is united? What? It is strong. And what does Satan, what happens to Satan when the church is strong? He becomes afraid and weak. You see, what happens when a church is divided, when a church is chaotic, when a church is lacking peace, it keeps the gospel from being proclaimed amongst us. We come here on Sunday mornings to hear the gospel. Now, sure, sometimes we have to hear the law. The law is important as the gospel. And sometimes we need to hear the law in order to know why we've sinned, so we need the gospel, right? I mean, if we never hear the law, then we're going to get too big for our britches because we're going to think we're too good a people and we have no need for the gospel. But that's the reality. We have to hear the law. The Lutherans are built upon preaching the law of God rightfully, just as the gospel rightfully. But it's crucial that we come to this place and hear the gospel proclaimed. Because if we don't hear the gospel proclaimed in this place, we become weak. We leave this place without knowing the love of Jesus. We go out into that world where there's attacks and rumors and gossip and hardship and turmoil and news stories and everything else that happens out in your world every day. And we go out there and we become weak. We lose our strength. We lose our hope. We lose the glory of Jesus in our lives. We need to come to this place to be filled with the gospel in word and in sacrament. It is crucial for us to be able to come to this place to be filled with the gospel and the word and sacrament. So therefore, it is crucial as a congregation and as a church to do whatever it takes to remove whatever is blocking that from happening. Because that is part of what the church has to do. You see, when Satan runs chaotic and dividing the church and lacking peace, it allows sin to run rampant. If you look at churches that do not preach the gospel, if you look at churches where there is no reconciliation, if you look at churches where there's nothing but arguing and nothing but gossip and nothing but hatred and nothing but bitterness, what happens to those churches? They die. They die. And Satan dances on their grave. Because that's what he wants to happen. He dances on their grave. And you see, when Satan is working, it keeps us from fulfilling our purpose and our call. We talked about this last week. What is our purpose and our call? Why do we exist as a church? Do you remember? So that all people might come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved. That is why we exist. That is the only reason why we exist. If we fail to keep that reason, if we fail to keep that purpose, we are no longer a church. We are a kingdom that is divided, a house that is falling, a church that is dying. Because our main and primary goal and purpose is to reach out beyond these walls to every sinner, every person who's hurt, every person who's downtrodden, every person who's been beaten up by Satan, no matter what their life looks like, no matter what their past, present, or future is, with the overwhelming love of Jesus that swoops into their lives and will change them and sanctify them and save them to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is the call of the church. Not just Christ Lutheran Church, but Hewlin Street Church. And Genesis Methodist Church, and every other church in the city of Fort Worth. While we may not agree on all things, our purpose and our will is still one. Even amongst our other churches, there is reconciliation in the fact that we are unitedly called to save people with the name of Jesus Christ. As Paul so boldly states, God has reconciled us to himself forever. God has reconciled himself forever. Now listen to this. I had to write this down because I couldn't remember this. This is just, God gave this to me. He has taken two opposite sides, Jesus has, sin and righteousness, death and life, and brought them together in victory for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember the definition it said earlier? The process of making two opposite beliefs and ideas or situations agree. What has Jesus Christ done? He has taken sin and death and righteousness and life and brought them together. As he died on the cross for our sins, as he rose from the dead into eternal glory to assure that we will live forever, he has taken two opposite ideas and brought them to us for the means of our reconciliation to God and our salvation. He has reconciled us sinners to God, and now two opposite things stand as true. And this is the beauty of Lutheranism. We know that we are sinners and we are saints at the same time. And because we are sinners and we are saints at the same time, as God looks down upon us and he sees us and he loves us and he forgives us, that reconciliation with God is complete and heaven will be our home for eternity. Nothing can take that from us. Nothing can destroy that. Nothing can change that or our eternal destiny, because God has taken two opposite things and reconciled them together for our benefit, so that we may live in this world in forgiveness and love and hope and joy for all eternity, even with Him in heaven. As St. Paul says, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, not even life or death itself, because God has done the reconciliation. God has done the hard work. God has completed it all. In this reconciliation, Jesus has become the foundation, the cornerstone upon which we stand and our house is built, as St. Paul says. He is that foundation, that cornerstone upon which we live, a foundation and cornerstone that cannot crumble, that cannot fall into the heart of the sea, that is eternal, that is there for you and me to protect us, to love us, to get us through good times and bad times, to bring reconciliation into our lives, to bring His joy and forgiveness and peace and love and eternity to you and to me, so that we can have a constant hope, an eternal hope, that we are going to heaven. In Him, we have become a temple rising together and dwelling, a dwelling place of His Holy Spirit, St. Paul says. Indeed, in baptism, by the power of God's word, through the sacrament, you and I, whether we like it or not, have risen together as a temple of God. Because in us, the Holy Spirit dwells. In us, the Holy Spirit does His work so that the church may go on. In us, He does His work so that we may love each other, comfort each other, reconcile with each other. In us, He does His work of reconciling the world to Him so that they may know Him as Lord and Savior. And it is all built upon the one true work of the Holy Spirit, who began that work in our lives of sanctification the day we were baptized. All of this so that we will live out the commands of Jesus Christ. That means His Ten Commandments in following the law. All of this so that we will practice over and over again and never stop ceasing to practice reconciliation. All of this to be a refuge of peace and hope and love to a broken world outside our walls who need to love Jesus. For far too long, the world has been beat up by Christians who were not true Christians. Christians who were judgmental, Christians who built their foundation on sand. The world needs us, the ones who have built our foundation on the rock of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that they too may know they are loved and find a home, a church, a family, where they can be loved beyond all measure. All of this so that we can be a beacon shining the light of Jesus in this building and in our community all the days of our lives. And that beacon and that light points to the one truth and the only thing that matters in this world, the salvation of our souls and eternity with Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.